order the Simpsonville City Council Committee of the Whole for September 22nd of 2020. City Clerk Long, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Gooch?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Houlihan? Councilmember Roche?
Here.
Councilmember Cummings?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Schumaker?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, City Clerk Long. Each of you should have received a copy of the minutes and had a chance to review it. Are there any revisions or corrections? Hearing none, the meetings will stand approved as submitted. Next item on the agenda is citizen comments. We have received no citizen comments for this evening. I will remind those of you in the public who are watching this meeting that it is possible to submit your comments either by calling my office at City Hall and leaving the message on my machine there, or you can record a comment with your device and email it to me as long as it's delivered in such a way as it can be played during this meeting. And we do invite the public to make comment and look forward to that input. And we have had people do that, even though we have been meeting virtually, and you're certainly welcome to do so. Next item on the is staff reports. We'll start with our monthly financial report. Finance Director Farino, will you deliver your report, please? We're missing your audio, Ms. Farino. Having audio problems. Your microphone is lit, so. Nope. Still no audio from Director Farino. So, Administrator Gracely, can you deliver her report for her, please?
Yes, sir. I'd be happy to do that. Let me back up to the beginning of her report here. So we are 2 months into the new fiscal year 21, and total revenues collected to date, $837,730.89, $633,403 of which was collected in August. So we are at about 4% of our revenues for the year. And of course, as we all know, most of those revenues come in the months of December and January, so nothing to be alarmed about there. On the expense side, we have expended approximately $2.6 million year to date, which is about 13% of our total budget, nearly $1.3 million expended in the month of August. In fact, the months of July and August are relatively even in terms of expenses. You have the overview of debt in front of you. I'll be happy to answer any questions there that you might have. Of course, we are retiring a lot of debt in the next couple of years, so we're in really good shape there. Sewer fund overview for the month of August, we received about $200,000 in revenues. We're at about 19% today on those figures, and expenses for August were about $38,000. Special revenue fund, which is our H&A tax, for the month of August, we received just over $200,000. And I will say that that is actually a little bit more than August of last year. So it looks like despite COVID, we are starting to see revenues right about where we would expect them to be. So I'm happy to report that our restaurants and hotels seem to be doing relatively well considering the pandemic. Expenses for the month of August were very low, less than $3,000 total. So we're not even really registering much of a percent on our expenses year to date. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you all might have. And perhaps Ms. Farino has audio now. I'm not with her.
Let's check with Director Farino and see if your audio has come back. No, still no audio. Are there any questions from council for Administrator Gracely on the budget and financial report? Seeing no one raised their hand, we'll move on to the next report from Community Relations Specialist Justin Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. The first of our two murals on South Main Street has been completed, and the response has been overwhelmingly positive. Since the completion of the mural, Parks and Rec staff has stained the six poles in the alleyway to contribute to the alleyway atmosphere. Ms. Hennessy, our artist, clarified that she will place the protective sealant on the mural, which protects it from graffiti and damage, on September 30th, since the forecast predicts no rain for 3 days, which is necessary for the sealant to dry properly. The Mural Artist Selection Committee is meeting with Ms. Hennessy on the 29th to discuss design concepts for the second mural. Morgan Mattson was chosen by the Greenville Water and Soil Conservation District back in the spring to paint a mural on a storm drain in the parking lot of Huck's Financial Services. Ms. Mattson is expected to start this week. The music series and food truck rodeo continues to be very successful. We had a great crowd on the 19th for the Duggar Band. Unfortunately, Cranford Hollow was canceled due to weather, but the Elvis tribute is still scheduled to close out the series September 24th, and I'd just like to go ahead and say that it was a very successful season given the circumstances, and I'm really proud of staff and everyone who made it possible, including the bands and Safi. Parks and Rec will be hosting with the Chamber a free showing of the kids' movie Paranorman October 24th in place of Halloween at Heritage Park. And the city will be hosting a free showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show for adults on October 30th. I'm sure y'all have seen Pinky, the Simpsonville Police Department's cancer awareness car. Officer James Ballard has really stepped up to utilize Pinky as both a way to promote cancer awareness, but also promote the police department in the city by including the car in cancer awareness and other community events and increasing its presence on social media. It's a wonderful asset that we have. It's a beautiful car. Everything on it was donated. Nothing came out of tax dollars. And it's a great way to bring awareness to a disease that affects everybody. If you haven't had cancer, you know someone who has. We created Facebook and Instagram pages. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilmember Roche.
There we go. As late as last week, Simpsonville Chamber of Commerce put out the announcement that they would be having Halloween at Heritage Park. But you're saying that's been canceled? Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Lisa, Special Events Coordinator for Parks and Rec, and I met with Allison, the president of the chamber, earlier this week, and we talked about that. There was a misunderstanding. From the city's point of view, we can't have Halloween at Heritage Park the way that we would normally have it. And we don't want to confuse people and have, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 people come out to line up for trick-or-treat trail. So instead, what we decided to do was hold a smaller event, just a movie with candy, hope that for next year, 2021, Halloween at Heritage Park would be even bigger and better. I'm working on the Facebook event page for the event called Simply Spooky Movie Night, and Allison and I are working on that, talking about graphics, coming to agreements on, you know, the language for the event page, and the meeting went really well, and it was just, you know, it's a tough time, and there was just a misunderstanding, but now everybody's on the same page, and we are excited about that event.
And all the candy will be like pre-bagged, and every child will just get a bag of candy, right?
Yes, ma'am. There will be like a bag within a bag within a bag kind of thing.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
other members of council with questions or comments? All right, thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Next up is, thank you. Next up is Economic Development. Director Knutson, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and Council. There we go. We're still working with the individuals that are doing our software upgrade for our permitting, and so those permit numbers, the automated reports that are going to be implemented, are still being refined, and so I should have those reports done and have numbers for you starting next month. But as far as site plan reviews, some notable things: the Claiborne Assisted Living down below TJ Maxx on Fairview Road, it did get its approval for its site plan to start moving forward. And the warehouse at Vaughn's, right down the road from City Hall, after site plan approved, and so they should start doing some site work out there as well. The Planning Commission did not have any agenda items, so they did not meet this month. And the Board of Zoning Appeals did have three items, one being a special exception for a construction service in the Business General District. And then we had two appeals, one regarding a sign that was denied and another regarding outdoor entertainment that was approved. If anybody has any questions, I'd be more than glad to answer those.
Any questions or comments from council? Councilmember Roche Day?
The rumor on the street is that we're going to have yet another car wash next to Coach House, and I'm wondering how true that is, because in the past you said that the plans kind of died down on that. Are we going to have another car wash adjacent to the one that's at Main and Fairview?
Yes, we will. Originally, the engineers were running to really get the project fit. Did go with a different firm who managed to very narrowly kind of shoebox it in, and so it is a permitted use by right, so we do not have the ability to deny it based off proximity to another use of the same.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Knutson. I don't see any other members of council who requested attention. The City Administrator's report. City Administrator Gracely, please.
Thank you, Mayor and members of Council. I'll be very brief. You have my report in front of you, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Just to highlight a couple of things with regard to the Arts Center. I know we have long awaited construction on that renovation project. We finally cleared the State Department of Archives and History. We were able to then publish the finding of no significant impact in terms of the environmental review for the project, which is mandated by the federal funds that we receive. We received no comments on that. So now all of that information is in the hands of the Department of Commerce, and we expect clearance from them the first week in October. So we're looking at the very latest now, a mid-October bid on that project. So we would do a mandatory pre-bid meeting on site with interested bidders. We would allow for probably a 30-day bid period, and then sealed competitive bids would be open, hopefully no later than the end of November, early December. So we will be coming to council with a notice to proceed and contract award for a contractor on that project, I hope no later than January of 21. So we are behind schedule a little bit from what we had projected early on in the project, and that's largely due to the delays we had getting approval from Archives and History. But it's going to be a great project. We're really excited about it, and we are in the home stretch now of the bid process. We are required, I know, as recently as the fire station we're constructing now, we were able to do a construction management at risk procurement. I would have preferred that on this, but because of the federal funding, we are required to do competitive sealed bid, which is a traditional type of bid process that has been practiced for many, many years, but hopefully we'll get a good contractor from that. I did submit last week to the Municipal Association our economic development grant, and that is a maximum grant award, if we are fortunate enough to receive it, of $25,000 plus our 15% local match, which is $3,750. for a total project budget of $28,750. For phase two of the Swamp Rabbit Trail, which would go from Fairview to Heritage Park. And finally, just today, we received an email from DOT that says they are ready to issue a permit for the interstate signage. So we're hoping that means, hopefully by next week, we'll actually have permit in hand. We can get the sign company started on those interstate signs out at Harrison Bridge and West Georgia Roads. And then Public Works will be doing all of the landscape once the signs are installed. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Yes, Ms. Cressley, are we still on track to complete an agreement with Milltown Players for the Arts Center for the 2021 season?
Yes, we are. So part of the grant application that we made to the Appalachian Regional Commission included Milltown Players as a user of that facility, and that's largely one of the reasons we were able to secure that grant. And of course, council approved all of those grant documents at the time it was submitted, and again with the grant award that was signed. So, you know, council's already taken some action on that, but we will need to have our city attorney draft a lease agreement for Milltown's use of the facility, you know, with all the prescribed terms and as far as the length of the term for their use of that and what they will be paying the city. If you recall, early on in my tenure here, they did submit a proposal to city council to provide community theater out of there. And I believe they had offered, I want to say it was $500 a month or perhaps a flat $5,000 a year. I'd have to go back to that proposal, but I'll provide that to Mr. Holmes and ask him to draft a lease agreement sometime in the very near future. And, you know, because we're probably at this point, I would say at least 10 months away from Milltown being able to occupy the building because construction hasn't started yet, we do have some time to secure that lease agreement with them. But yes, it's everyone's intention to move forward on that, and Milltown has been very much involved in the design concepts for the Arts Center. They met on site with us and the architects to look at the auditorium. They were very much a factor in determining the number of seats we would have in the auditorium, some of the elements that they needed with expansion of the stage and a loading area on the back of the building. So yeah, every intention to have them be a very key player in the use of that building moving forward.
Secondly, would there be an opportunity or a place that the public could go and see the plans for the theater this time, the layout and so forth?
I'm sure that we could find somewhere on the website where Mr. Campbell could share those renderings. I do have renderings in my office. We've had the boards over at the Arts Center at various points. I'm not quite sure what's happened to those boards, but I do have some renderings in my office, electronic files. I can provide them to you. Mr. Campbell can put them on the website. You all are welcome to share them with your constituents. Again, they're renderings, they're not actual construction drawings, but they will give everyone a good sense of what we anticipate that looking like at completion.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from council? Thank you. Before we move on to the business portion of our agenda, are there any questions from council for any of the other department heads that are with us tonight? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to the business section of the agenda. The only item on our business tonight is item A, an ordinance number 2020-05, revised cotton mill ID development agreement. Planning and Economic Development Director Knutson, will you summarize, please?
Thank you. The Great Bull Cotton Mill LP are the current owners of the Cotton Mill Apartments, and they're looking to be selling that to a new group, Orencell, I may be mispronouncing that, Cotton Mill LLC. Great Bull will be staying on is property management, and so they are still a part of the project. But per the already approved development agreement, they do need to receive consent, written consent from the city to transfer those rights and obligations from that. The project, the Cottonmill Apartments, has been completed. They've met all of their obligations as to the public improvements. Those have already been inspected, approved, and taken over by the city. So basically what we're doing here is just changing who those payments will be going to, basically. Instead of Grable, they'll be made to Orencell. The development agreement does state that consent from the city shall not be and executed with the same formality of the agreement. And so I've provided you in the staff report a little synopsis of the company who is taking over, and having conversations with Graycliff, who represent Graybull, I feel very confident in the group that will be taking over ownership, that they will be able to do so appropriately, and will continue to keep the Cottonmill Apartments as a great asset to the city.
Thank you, Director Knudsen. The motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that Council approve Ordinance 2020-05, Revised Cottonmill ID Development Agreement.
Second.
All right, I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with second by Councilmember Hutchings to approve Ordinance Number 2020-05, Revised Cottonmill ID Development Agreement. Before we begin questions, I will point out that Mr. Seth Peterson is with us tonight. He is involved in this project and can answer questions as well. And is Mr. Few part of that project too, Mr. Knudsen?
He is, yes.
Okay, so we have Richard Few with us as well tonight. So is there any comments or discussions or questions from a member of council? Thank you. Administrator Gracely.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I may need Mr. Holmes to weigh in on this. There has been a slight change since we drafted the agenda for tonight's meeting. Jason and I met with Mr. Holmes late this afternoon to discuss the best way to proceed or for Council's action. And rather than have a new agreement drafted with the soon-to-be new owners of the development, we were just going to basically have council consent to have the current developer Graybill assign this to the new buyers. So Mr. Holmes, does that motion by Ms. Roche need to be worded differently since there will be no ordinance and not two readings?
We could amend it, but as all of you know, a motion in your workshop session merely moves the item to your regular agenda. And so I think the agenda item covers it, but you are correct. It's going to end up, I've asked Mr. Few to prepare an assignment and provide it to us. That's the pretty simple document that has the effect of changing the ownership. Mr. Knudsen was also correct that the development agreement that was passed in 2017, the ordinance had a specific provision that allowed Grable to assign a contract, and it says that the city's consent to that assignment can't be unreasonably withheld. So what he's done is provided you some information about the bona fides of the new owner, and I think that staff is satisfied with that information, but I don't think it's necessary to amend the motion. It's enough to put it on the regular agenda, but it will be instead of an ordinance, it will just be a resolution to approve the assignment.
Thank you. Council? All right. Hearing no discussion or questions, I will call for the question. And on the motion, to approve ordinance, well, on the motion to approve resolution for number 2020-05, revised development agreement,
It's not, not approved.
City Clerk Long, will you please do a roll call vote?
Councilmember Gooch?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Roche?
Yes.
Councilmember Cummings?
Yes.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Yes.
Mayor Schumacher?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. This concludes all of our business for this evening. And without objection, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone.